This is the reason why the Ethiopian Bible was censored. Most of us possess a 66-book Bible, different from others like the Ethiopian Bible. The Bible is a historical book, but unlike any other history book available in a public library. The story of the Bible begins with the creation of the world and ends with the end of times. No other history book covers such a wide range of events on earth. The mystery of the Ethiopian Bible begins with its very existence. Why is such an ancient and revered text not as well known as other versions of the Bible? The answer to this question is deeply intertwined with the history and politics of the early Christian Church. The exclusion of certain texts and the inclusion of others were decisions that shaped the perception and acceptance of the Bible worldwide. One reason is that no one was present at the beginning to witness and document these events, so no one can write the beginning of our world with authority. The history of the Ethiopian Bible has intrigued many for its unique content and rich tradition. Unlike other biblical canons, the Ethiopian Bible contains 88 books, including the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jubilees, and several other texts. This version of the Bible includes ancient scrolls from both the Old and New Testaments, some of which have never been seen elsewhere. It is fascinating that Ethiopia has been a Christian nation since the 4th century, long before Christianity spread to many other regions of the world. Historical records show that Ethiopia welcomed Christian refugees fleeing persecution from other kingdoms and empires. This historical embrace of Christianity demonstrates the deep roots of faith in Ethiopian culture. In the 5th century, the Bible was translated into Ge'ez, the ancient liturgical language of Ethiopia, which was a significant milestone as it made the scriptures accessible to the Ethiopian people in their own language. This allowed the faithful to interact directly with the Word of God, fostering a vibrant and deeply rooted Christian culture. The Ethiopian Bible has a unique history and structure that distinguish it within the Christian tradition. It contains texts not found in other Christian Bibles, being preserved and recognized by the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. Why was the Ethiopian Bible banned? The formation of the Bible as we know it today was a complex process that involved many decisions about which texts to include. Early church leaders gathered in councils, such as the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD and the First Council of Constantinople in 381 AD, to determine the official Bible. They decided that a book was scripture if it was written by one of Jesus' followers or by someone who had seen him teach, and if it made sense in the context of the rest of the Bible. This process led to the exclusion of many texts, including those found in the Ethiopian Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. In the early 1600s, during the reign of King James I, there was a significant revision of the Bible. The king commissioned a new translation to resolve religious differences and strengthen his authority. This translation, known as the King James Bible, became one of the most accessible versions due to advances in printing. It is worth noting that the King James Bible, like earlier versions such as the Vulgate, excluded some books that were included in the Ethiopian Bible. One reason for the obscurity of the Ethiopian Bible is its language. It is written in Ge'ez, an ancient Ethiopian language, making it inaccessible to those who do not speak the language. The lack of translations further limited its reach. Additionally, the unique practices and traditions of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church contributed to its relative isolation from other Christian denominations. The books of Enoch, especially the first book of Enoch, are considered canonical in the Ethiopian Bible. They contain extensive narratives about angels, demons, and the origins of sin. For example, the first book of Enoch provides a detailed account of the fall of the angels and their interaction with humanity. The book of Enoch is one of several pseudepigraphal works, falsely attributed works, whose authorship is not verified. In verses 14 and 15, the biblical book of Jude includes a quote from the book of Enoch. This prophecy originates in the first book of Enoch, and the fact that Jude cites it as authoritative raises some questions. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Jude 14-15. However, this does not prove that the book of Enoch is divinely inspired or that it should be included in the canon of Scripture. Jude's citation is just an example of how even biblical authors mentioned extra-biblical writings to illustrate a point. Similarly, the Apostle Paul mentions the works of Epimenides in passing in Titus 1:12. This does not imply that we should give these writings additional authority. The same consideration can be applied to verses 14 and 15 of Jude. Although Jude cites the book of Enoch, this does not demonstrate that all these citations are inspired or authentic. It simply indicates that the particular verse in question is accurate. "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Genesis 5:24. The biblical story of Enoch has remarkable parallels with the story of Revelation. Just as Enoch lived a righteous life amidst a corrupt generation, we are also called to live in righteousness, walking in faith with God, discerning what is true and what is not. The Bible portrays people whose response to God's love was of sincere gratitude, unwavering devotion, and intense zeal. Enoch's example, who walked with God and was taken up without experiencing death, is a powerful testimony of what it means to live a devout life. His story can also be seen as a prefiguration of the rapture mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, where those who are alive in Christ will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Enoch lived in a time of widespread moral corruption and yet maintained an intimate relationship with God, being taken directly to heaven. This is a call for us, who also live in a morally deviated world, to seek deep communion with God. His life is a model for many, teaching us to live for the audience of one, God. The story of Enoch teaches us that when we seek God with all our hearts, we can have a fresh and transformative encounter with Him. The case of Enoch is seen as the first documented rapture where God simply took him. This suggests that Enoch's communion with God reached such a profound level that the divine presence completely enveloped him. We should consider the book of Enoch and similar works in the same way we treat other apocryphal texts, as interesting historical documents, but not as the inspired and authoritative Word of God. While these texts may contain fragments of divine revelation, they should not be seen with the same authority as the canonical scriptures. The Book of Jubilees, also known as Little Genesis, rewrites much of the content of the Book of Genesis, adding details and additional interpretations. It offers a more elaborate view of the history of creation, the lives of the patriarchs, and the establishment of Jewish laws and customs. It speaks about the importance of keeping the Sabbath and uses a solar calendar different from the Jewish lunar calendar. The book divides time into jubilees, which are cycles of 49 years, and attempts to align biblical stories with its own timeline. The Ethiopian Bible contains more writings, such as the Ascension of Isaiah and the Apocalypse of Peter, offering perspectives on what early Christians believed, especially about the end times. The inclusion of these books makes the Ethiopian collection of sacred texts different from others. The canon of the Ethiopian Bible stands out when compared to other Christian canons, such as the Protestant, Catholic, and Eastern Orthodox canons. The Catholic canon has 73 books, more than the Protestant Bible, as it includes the deuterocanonical books. However, the Catholic Bible does not contain the special books present in the Ethiopian Bible. The term Apocrypha refers to hidden books, Jewish writings from the Second Temple period, approximately between the 3rd century BC and the 1st century AD, which were not included in the Jewish canon. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are called canonical Gospels, because the early church recognized them as accurate and inspired records of the life and teachings of Jesus. Besides these four Gospels, many other works claim to document additional words and actions of Jesus. However, these works are not considered authoritative or inspired, and often do not provide accurate records of Jesus' life and teachings. The early church regarded many of the apocryphal Gospels as useful but not inspired. Studying the Apocrypha and Pseudepigrapha is essential to understand the development of Judaism and Christianity. The Ethiopian Bible, with its inclusion of Apocrypha and Pseudepigrapha, offers a broader perspective on ancient religious texts that are not considered the inspired Word of God. These writings, although not part of the main biblical canon, are invaluable for their historical, theological, and cultural insights. The story of Moses and the Exodus is a central narrative in the Bible, showing the liberation of the Israelites from Egyptian oppression and their journey to the Promised Land. Since Egypt is located in Africa, the story also offers an intriguing view of the biblical representation of Africans. Throughout the Bible, the lands of Ethiopia, often referred to as Cush, and its people, the Cushites, are mentioned several times, indicating the importance of this ancient civilization in biblical history. King Solomon is an example of wisdom and prosperity, a gift from God. His fame spread widely, and the visit of the Queen of Sheba to Solomon's court illustrates the exchange of knowledge and wealth between cultures. Her story visiting Solomon is recorded in 1 Kings 10:1-13, where she is amazed by the king's wisdom and wealth, recognizing God's blessing upon him. The Queen of Sheba, witnessing Solomon's glory, offers gifts and receives more in return than she had brought, symbolizing generous exchange and the pursuit of wisdom. In the New Testament, the influence of Ethiopia is also evident. Philip, an early Christian evangelist, was instructed by an angel to travel south on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. On the way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, a high official in charge of the queen's treasury. The eunuch was reading aloud from the book of Isaiah, and confused by a specific passage, Philip approached and explained its meaning, revealing how the text pointed to Jesus. This encounter led to the eunuch's baptism, marking one of the earliest recorded Christian converts in Africa. Why were some books excluded while others remained? The Bible is crucial to the Christian faith, as it is the primary source of information about God, who He is, and what He has done for us. Additionally, it reveals knowledge about humanity, including our character, history, and spiritual needs. The Bible also describes the history of salvation and offers guidance for Christian life. The preservation and canonization of biblical texts were complex processes influenced by various historical, cultural, and theological factors. God's plan of salvation offers forgiveness and renewal for humanity in its sinful state. It also establishes God's standards of what is right and wrong, communicating His will for His creations. Considering that the Christian faith is rooted in hope for the future, the Bible is indispensable for guiding our path toward eternity. The importance of the Bible and its revelations cannot be underestimated. The Bible is an exceptional book. It was written by about 40 human authors over a period of 2,500 years, starting with Moses in the 15th century BC. The Bible was written in two main languages, Hebrew and Greek, with some parts of the Old Testament in Aramaic. The diverse group of authors came from various walks of life, including Moses, Joshua, and renowned prophets like Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. This makes the Bible a truly unique and unparalleled work. The authors of the Bible had different backgrounds. For example, there were authors like David, who began as a shepherd, but later became king of Israel. As a king, David wrote many of the Psalms, providing a rich poetic backdrop for biblical truths. Other writers were farmers, warriors, or fishermen. Despite their different backgrounds, all contributed to the Bible. The Bible itself is unique. It contains a wide range of content, including moral and political laws, history, poetry, prophecy, and letters, yet it maintains continuity from Genesis to Revelation. In the Christian faith, the unity of the Bible, despite its diversity, is attributed to the work of the Holy Spirit rather than human authors. The difficulty of producing a book like the Bible is evident when considering that it was written by 40 different authors over 1,500 years. Even with access to all the literature in the world, it would be impossible to create a second Bible identical to the original. The Bible is seen as a supernatural production distinct from other works. It presents a consistent representation of God and the world. Although some of the writers may have had access to other manuscripts containing historical information, the Bible is not simply a copy of these books. Instead, the authors selected and included what they believed to be the truth, resulting in a unique and authoritative account of God's truth. The Bible is a supernatural book. It would be impossible to explain the origin of the Bible by any other means than recognizing it claims to be a supernatural book guided by the Holy Spirit, and it supports its claims with the presented facts. The content of the Bible indicates that it is of supernatural origin because it contains revelations beyond human knowledge. It also provides God's perspective on human activity and history, which can only be known through divine revelation. The Bible is not only supernatural in its origin, but also in its truth. It addresses themes such as salvation, forgiveness, justice, spiritual restoration, and hope for eternity. The scope of revelation extends from the past eternity to the future eternity, which obviously requires divine revelation. Have you ever wondered about the origins of African peoples? The Bible, with its wealth of narratives and genealogies, sheds light on these fascinating questions. It reveals an intricate history that connects the trajectory of African peoples with post-flood events. After the flood, Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, were given distinct blessings and responsibilities to repopulate the earth. This division is fundamental to understanding the origin of different ethnic groups. Each of Noah's sons played a crucial role in the formation of the civilizations we know today, especially on the African continent. The Bible specifically mentions Ham and his descendants as the ancestors of African peoples. In this context, biblical accounts not only provide genealogy, but also teachings and lessons that have endured over time. Let us unravel the biblical genealogies, discovering how Ham and his sons, Cush, Mizraim, Phut, and Canaan, played significant roles in the formation of African peoples. Prepare for a journey through time and history, where each name and each account holds profound meaning. Share this video with someone you love. Our greatest mission as believers is to spread the word of the Lord to as many people as possible. And if you like and want more in-depth studies like this, comment below, "I want more," so I know if you are truly enjoying the content I deliver every day. The Bible is an inexhaustible source of narratives and genealogies that allow us to understand the origin of different peoples and cultures, from Adam to Noah, and from Noah to the patriarchs of various nations. These accounts offer us a unique view of ancient history. Each genealogy is not just a list of names, but a doorway to the stories of the people who shaped our world. The genealogies in the Bible not only document lineages, but also reflect the relationships and interactions between different ethnic groups. For example, in Genesis 10, known as the Table of Nations, it is described how Noah's sons dispersed throughout the earth after the flood. This chapter is key to understanding the distribution of ancient peoples. The richness of these genealogies lies in their ability to connect historical events with personal narratives. Through these accounts, we can glimpse the lives, challenges, and achievements of people who lived thousands of years ago. Each name in a genealogy represents a life story, a legacy that has been passed down from generation to generation. Ham, one of Noah's sons, is often associated with the region of Africa. His descendants, according to the scriptures, settled in areas that would later be recognized as African territories. This post-flood connection is crucial for understanding the origin and dispersion of African peoples. The story of Ham and his descendants is rich and complex, full of events that shaped the history of Africa. His sons, Cush, Mizraim, Phut, and Canaan, are prominent figures in the Bible and played important roles in the formation of African civilizations. For example, Mizraim is identified as the ancestor of the Egyptians, one of the most advanced civilizations of antiquity. Exploring these genealogies allows us to see how biblical narratives and historical events are intertwined. The connection between the Bible and African history not only enriches our knowledge of the past, but also helps us appreciate the diversity and cultural richness of African peoples today. The story of Noah and his three sons is fundamental to understanding the repopulation of the earth after the flood. According to the Bible, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God, Genesis 6:9. He and his family were chosen to survive the flood and start anew. The blessings and responsibilities Noah bestowed upon his sons were decisive for the repopulation of the earth. Each of his sons received a divine mandate that would define the course of their lineage. These blessings are recorded in Genesis 9, 25-27, where Noah declares the future of his sons and their lineages. Shem was blessed as the ancestor of the Semitic peoples, including the Hebrews and Arabs. Noah said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant," Genesis 9:26. This blessing highlighted the special relationship that Shem's descendants would have with God. Japheth received the blessing of expansion. Noah proclaimed, "God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant," Genesis 9:27. This blessing was interpreted as a promise that Japheth's descendants would spread over vast regions, encompassing Europe and parts of Asia. Japheth's genealogy is detailed in Genesis 10:2-5, where his sons are mentioned: Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. Each of these names represents different peoples and regions that dispersed and populated various parts of the world. For example, Javan is often associated with the ancient Greeks. Japheth's descendants settled in regions that spanned from Asia Minor to Europe. Ham, although not explicitly blessed, became the ancestor of African peoples. His descendants played a crucial role in the history of Africa. Noah mentioned that Canaan, Ham's son, would be a servant to his brothers, but this curse did not extend to all of Ham's descendants, as is often misinterpreted. These blessings and responsibilities illustrate how the Bible not only narrates historical events, but also establishes the foundations for ethnic and cultural diversity. Each of Noah's sons and their descendants contributed uniquely to the formation of the world as we know it today. Shem, one of Noah's three sons, is considered the ancestor of the Semitic peoples, which include the Hebrews and the Arabs. The Bible tells us in Genesis 10:21-31 that Shem was the father of all the children of Eber, the ancestor of the Hebrews. This genealogy is crucial for understanding the connection between the descendants of Shem and the cultures that emerged in the Middle East. Among Shem's descendants are important figures like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who are patriarchs of the people of Israel. Genesis 11:10-26 provides a detailed genealogy showing the lineage from Shem to Abraham. Besides the Hebrews, the Arabs are also descendants of Shem through Ishmael, the son of Abraham and Hagar. Genesis 17:20 states that God blessed Ishmael, promising that he would be the father of 12 princes and that he would make him a great nation. This promise is part of the Semitic legacy that extends to this day. Noah's blessing to Shem highlighted the special relationship that Shem's descendants would have with God. This spiritual connection is an integral part of Jewish and Arab religious traditions and has profoundly influenced the history and culture of the Middle East. Ham, the third son of Noah, is identified in the Bible as the ancestor of African peoples. Genesis 10:6-20 provides Ham's genealogy, mentioning his sons Cush, Mizraim, Phut, and Canaan. These names are associated with regions and peoples that settled in Africa and its surroundings. The repopulation of Africa by Ham's descendants is a theme of great importance in the biblical narrative. Mizraim, for example, is commonly identified with Egypt, one of the oldest and most advanced civilizations in the world. Genesis 10:13-14 mentions the sons of Mizraim, who gave rise to various tribes and peoples of northern Africa. The genealogy of Japheth is detailed in Genesis 10:2-5, where his sons are mentioned: Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. Each of these names represents different peoples and regions that dispersed and populated various parts of the world. For example, Javan is often associated with the ancient Greeks. Japheth's descendants settled in regions ranging from Asia Minor to Europe. This process of expansion and colonization significantly contributed to the cultural and ethnic diversity of the ancient world. European civilizations in particular owe much of their origin to the peoples descended from Japheth. The repopulation of Africa by Ham's descendants is a theme of great importance in the biblical narrative. Mizraim, for example, is commonly identified with Egypt, one of the oldest and most advanced civilizations in the world. Genesis 10:13-14 mentions the sons of Mizraim, who gave rise to various tribes and peoples of northern Africa. Phut, another son of Ham, is less clearly identified, but is associated with regions of northern Africa, possibly Libya. Biblical references to Phut are less detailed, but his inclusion in Ham's genealogy suggests a significant connection with African peoples. This connection is part of the rich tapestry of African history. The story of Canaan, the fourth son of Ham, is distinct. Although Canaan is associated with the Canaanites and regions of the Middle East, his inclusion in Ham's genealogy underscores the diversity of Ham's descendants. This diversity reflects the wide dispersion of African peoples and their contribution to global history. Cush, Ham's firstborn, is a key figure in the biblical genealogy. Genesis 10:6-7 mentions Cush and his sons, who settled in various regions of Africa. Cush is often associated with Ethiopia and Sudan, and his descendants are considered ancestors of the peoples who inhabited these areas. The sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, and Sabtecha, played important roles in the formation of various tribes and nations. Each of these names represents lineages that dispersed and established prosperous communities in northeastern Africa. Genesis 10:7 provides details about these descendants, highlighting their importance in African history. Mizraim, Ham's son, is widely recognized as the ancestor of the ancient Egyptians. Genesis 10:13-14 mentions Mizraim and his descendants, who settled in the region we now know as Egypt. The name Mizraim is commonly interpreted as two lands or two countries, reflecting the geographical duality of Egypt, which included Upper and Lower Egypt. The Egyptian civilization is one of the most advanced and enduring in ancient history. Mizraim's descendants were responsible for creating one of the world's most remarkable cultures, known for its advances in architecture, writing, art, and science. The pyramids of Giza, the Valley of the Kings, and the Great Sphinx are testaments to the ingenuity and skill of the ancient Egyptians. Phut, another son of Ham, is mentioned in Genesis 10:6 as one of the ancestors of African peoples. However, the exact identification of Phut and his descendants is less clear compared to Mizraim and Cush. Some scholars suggest that Phut may be related to regions of the Horn of Africa, including areas of Ethiopia, Somalia, and Eritrea. The Bible provides fewer details about Phut and his descendants compared to other lineages, leading to various interpretations about his identity and location. Despite this ambiguity, Phut is recognized as an important figure in Ham's genealogy, and his inclusion underscores the expansion and diversity of African peoples. Canaan, Ham's fourth son, is a central figure in the biblical narrative. Genesis 10:15-18 details Canaan's genealogy, mentioning his sons and the tribes that emerged from them, collectively known as the Canaanites. Although Canaan and his descendants are more associated with the Middle East, his story is relevant for understanding Ham's heritage. The Canaanites inhabited the land of Canaan, a region that includes parts of modern-day Israel, Palestine, Lebanon, and Syria. This land is repeatedly mentioned in the Bible as the promised land for the Israelites. The biblical narrative describes numerous interactions and conflicts between the Israelites and the Canaanites, highlighting the importance of this region in biblical history. One of the most well-known accounts about Canaan is the curse pronounced by Noah. Genesis 9:20-27 describes how Noah planted a vineyard, became drunk, and lay uncovered in his tent. Ham saw his father's nakedness and told his brothers, Shem and Japheth. As a result, Noah cursed Canaan, saying he would be a servant to his brothers. This curse has been the subject of much discussion and interpretation over the centuries. It is important to clarify that Noah's curse was specifically directed at Canaan and not all of Ham's descendants. This distinction is crucial to avoid historical misunderstandings that have led to erroneous interpretations and unjust justifications. The story of Canaan teaches us about the complexity of heritage and the consequences of actions, and how these narratives have influenced perceptions and relationships between peoples. The curse of Canaan should be viewed in its historical and cultural context within the biblical narrative. Blessings and curses had profound symbolic meaning and were used to explain relationships and hierarchies between peoples. The curse of Canaan reflected the tensions and conflicts of the time and should not be used to justify later oppression. Recognizing and correcting these misinterpretations is fundamental for a fair and accurate understanding of biblical history. It is essential to demystify the distorted narratives that have perpetuated discrimination and focus on the true teaching of the Bible, the inherent dignity and value of all human beings, regardless of their ethnic origin. The story of Noah's nakedness and his son's reaction is one of the most commented on accounts in the Bible. Genesis 9:20-23 describes how Noah, after the flood, planted a vineyard and became drunk with wine, lying naked in his tent. Ham saw his father's nakedness and told his brothers, Shem and Japheth, who took a garment, laid it upon their shoulders, and walked backward to cover their father without seeing his nakedness. This incident has been interpreted in various ways throughout history. Some see Ham's action as a lack of respect for his father, while others suggest that the narrative has a deeper meaning related to shame and morality. The reaction of Shem and Japheth in covering their father is seen as an act of respect and honor. Noah's response upon waking and discovering what had happened was to pronounce a curse on Canaan, Ham's son. This act of cursing highlights the importance of honor and respect in family and community relationships. The story also illustrates how individual actions can have significant repercussions for future generations. The narrative of Noah's nakedness and his son's reaction is a reminder of the complexities of human nature and family dynamics. It also teaches us about the importance of respect and integrity, values that are fundamental in biblical teachings. This story, though brief, offers profound lessons about conduct and the consequences of our actions. The curse of Canaan has been a source of confusion and misunderstanding throughout history. It has often been incorrectly assumed that the curse applied to all of Ham's descendants and, by extension, to African peoples. However, a careful analysis of Genesis 9:25-27 shows that Noah directed the curse specifically at Canaan, not Ham or his other sons. This misunderstanding has had serious historical consequences, as for centuries, some justified slavery and racial discrimination based on a distorted reading of this biblical passage. It is important to clarify that the Bible does not support such interpretations. The curse of Canaan was a specific punishment that should not be generalized to all of Ham's descendants, much less to all people of African descent. The correct interpretation of this passage requires an understanding of the historical and cultural context in which it was written. In antiquity, curses and blessings were symbolic forms of expressing specific consequences and destinies, often related to individual behaviors and decisions. The curse of Canaan reflected the tensions and rivalries of the time, and not a divine judgment on an entire race. Recognizing and correcting these misunderstandings is crucial to promoting a fair and equitable understanding of the scriptures. By doing so, we can combat harmful narratives that have perpetuated injustice and foster a deeper respect for human diversity and the inherent dignity of all people. It is essential to demystify the historical distortions that arose from the narrative of Canaan's curse. The idea that this curse justified slavery or the inferiority of African peoples is a dangerous and erroneous distortion of the scriptures. When addressing this theme, we must be precise and respectful of the biblical context. Genesis 9:25-27 specifies that the curse was directed exclusively at Canaan, not all of Ham's sons. This distinction is fundamental to correcting the erroneous narrative that has been used to justify oppression and slavery. The Bible does not support racial discrimination or the idea that one ethnic group is superior or inferior to another. The erroneous historical interpretation of this passage had devastating repercussions over the centuries. This distorted narrative was used to rationalize the enslavement of Africans and the exploitation of their descendants. It is our duty as scholars and believers to correct these errors and promote an accurate and fair understanding of the Bible. The Bible teaches that all human beings are created in the image and likeness of God, Genesis 1:27, meaning that all deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. This truth must guide our interpretation and application of the scriptures. Mizraim, one of Ham's sons, left a significant cultural legacy through his descendants, the ancient Egyptians. The Egyptian civilization is one of the most influential and enduring in ancient history, known for its impressive achievements in various areas, from building iconic monuments to advances in writing and science. The Egyptians left an indelible mark on the history of humanity. Mizraim's descendants were responsible for building the pyramids, temples, and other structures that still astonish the world today. The Great Pyramid of Giza, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, is a testament to the ingenuity and skill of the ancient Egyptians. These architectural feats reflect a deep knowledge of engineering and mathematics. In addition to their architectural achievements, the Egyptians also developed an advanced writing system known as hieroglyphs. This system allowed the creation of detailed and complex records, including religious, administrative, and literary texts. The Rosetta Stone, discovered in 1799, was crucial for deciphering hieroglyphs and better understanding Egyptian civilization. Mizraim's cultural influence and his descendants extended beyond Egypt, affecting other civilizations through trade and cultural interaction. The wealth of their traditions, art, and religion influenced neighboring cultures and left a lasting legacy that continues to be studied and admired today. This heritage underscores Mizraim's importance in the history and development of African civilization. The name Mizraim, which means two lands or two countries, reflects the geographical duality of Egypt, composed of Upper and Lower Egypt. This duality was not just a physical characteristic of the country, but also had a profound impact on its political and cultural structure. Upper Egypt, with its capital in Thebes, was known for its monumental temples and rich culture. This region, characterized by its narrow river valley, was the religious and cultural heart of ancient Egypt. The Temple of Karnak and the Valley of the Kings are notable examples of the cultural wealth of Upper Egypt. These sites reflect the region's religious devotion and artistic sophistication. Lower Egypt, with its capital in Memphis and later in Alexandria, was the administrative and commercial center of the country. Situated in the Nile Delta, this region was crucial for agriculture and trade. Lower Egypt was more exposed to foreign influences due to its proximity to the Mediterranean, facilitating cultural and economic exchange with other civilizations. The unification of these two regions under the reign of Menes around 3100 BC marked the beginning of the dynastic period in Egypt. This political unification allowed the flourishing of a civilization that lasted more than 3,000 years. The geographical duality of Egypt, represented in its name and political structure, is a testament to its ability to integrate diversity and achieve lasting unity. Mizraim's descendants played a crucial role in the formation and development of Egyptian civilization. This ancient civilization is one of the most advanced and enduring in history, known for its impressive achievements in various areas, including architecture, writing, science, and religion. Mizraim's influence and his descendants are evident in many aspects of Egyptian culture. The monumental architecture of Egypt is one of the most notable achievements of Mizraim's descendants. The pyramids, temples, and tombs, such as the Great Pyramid of Giza and the Temple of Karnak, are examples of their skill and knowledge in engineering. These structures served not only as funerary monuments, but also reflected the Egyptians' deep connection with their religious beliefs and their view of the afterlife. In writing, the Egyptians developed one of the world's oldest and most complex writing systems, hieroglyphs. This system allowed the recording of historical events, administrative practices, and religious texts. The Rosetta Stone, discovered in 1799, was essential for deciphering this ancient language and better understanding Egyptian civilization. Science and medicine also flourished under the influence of Mizraim's descendants. The Egyptians made advances in anatomy, medicine, and astronomy. Medical papyri, such as the Ebers Papyrus, contain valuable information on medical practices and treatments that still surprise modern scholars. These scientific achievements demonstrate the Egyptians' advanced understanding of the natural world. Phut, one of Ham's sons, is a lesser-known figure compared to his brothers, but his relevance should not be underestimated. Genesis 10:6 mentions Phut as one of the ancestors of African peoples. Although the Bible provides fewer details about Phut and his descendants, his inclusion in Ham's genealogy underscores his importance in the formation of African civilizations. Scholars suggest that Phut is associated with the region of North Africa, including countries like Ethiopia, Somalia, and Eritrea. This identification, though not definitive, is based on historical and geographical references linking Phut to these areas. The regions mentioned were historically rich in culture and trade, contributing to the exchange of goods and ideas over the centuries. The Horn of Africa, for example, has been a meeting point for various civilizations throughout history. This region played a crucial role in trade between Africa, the Middle East, and Asia. The trade routes that crossed this area facilitated cultural and economic exchange, allowing the descendants of Phut to influence and be influenced by other cultures. Despite the limited references in the Bible, the importance of Phut in African history is significant. His legacy endures in the communities that inhabit the Horn of Africa today. Exploring Ham's genealogy highlights the diversity and cultural richness that his descendants brought to the African continent and the world at large. The identification of Phut and his descendants in the Bible presents challenges due to the ambiguity of references. Genesis 10:6 mentions Phut as one of Ham's sons, but does not offer extensive details about his activities or descendants. This lack of information has led to various interpretations regarding the identity and impact of Phut in history. Some scholars believe that Phut may be associated with the region of North Africa, possibly Libya. This identification is based on historical and geographical references, suggesting a connection between Phut and the populations that inhabited this area. Although biblical evidence is scarce, the history and culture of these areas offer clues about Phut's possible influence. The ambiguity in identifying Phut does not diminish his importance in Ham's genealogy. Exploring the possible locations and descendants of Phut highlights the complexity and diversity of African civilizations. Recognizing this diversity is crucial for a comprehensive understanding of the history and heritage of African peoples. Cush, the firstborn of Ham, is a central figure in the biblical narrative and is often associated with Ethiopia and Sudan. Genesis 10:6-7 mentions Cush and his sons, who settled in various regions of northeastern Africa. Cush is considered the ancestor of the peoples who inhabited these areas, including Ethiopians and Nubians. The association of Kush with Ethiopia is reflected in the etymology of the word itself. In Hebrew, Kush is often used to refer to Ethiopia. This connection is supported by numerous biblical passages that mention Kush and his descendants. For example, in Isaiah 18, 1-2, the land of Kush is referred to as a powerful and advanced region. The descendants of Kush played a crucial role in the formation of Nubian and Ethiopian civilizations. These civilizations are known for their cultural, architectural, and military achievements. The Nubian kingdoms, for instance, were contemporaries and sometimes rivals of ancient Egypt. The cultural wealth of these peoples is a testament to Kush's legacy. The history of Kush and his association with Ethiopia and Sudan underscores the influence of Ham's descendants in northeastern Africa. Exploring the biblical genealogies highlights the importance of Kush in African history. His descendants not only populated these regions, but also significantly contributed to the development of advanced and culturally rich civilizations. The Nubian kingdoms, associated with the descendants of Kush, are known for their impressive achievements in various areas, including architecture, culture, and trade. These kingdoms, located south of Egypt in what is now Sudan, were contemporaneous with ancient Egypt and sometimes even surpassed it in influence and power. Nubian architecture is notable for its pyramids, which, although smaller than the Egyptian ones, are equally impressive. The Nubian kingdoms built more pyramids than Egypt, and these monuments can still be visited today in places like Meroe and Nuri. These structures reflect a rich architectural tradition and a deep connection with the religious beliefs of the Nubians. Culturally, the Nubian kingdoms developed a unique identity. Although influenced by Egypt, they adopted and adapted many aspects of Egyptian culture, including art, writing, and religion. However, they also maintained and developed their own traditions. For example, the Nubians had their own writing system, known as Meroitic, which has yet to be completely deciphered. In trade, the Nubian kingdoms were strategically important. Nubia controlled crucial trade routes connecting sub-Saharan Africa with Egypt and the Mediterranean. The Nubians traded gold, ivory, ebony, and other valuable goods. This strategic position allowed the Nubian kingdoms to prosper economically and maintain their influence in the region for centuries. The name Kush has a special significance and is associated with distinct physical characteristics in the Bible. Kush is often used to refer to Ethiopia and its inhabitants. The meaning of the name suggests a connection with dark skin, reflecting the physical characteristics of African peoples. This association is seen in various biblical passages that mention Kush and his descendants. Jeremiah 13:23, for example, says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots?" This verse refers to the physical characteristics of the Ethiopians, descendants of Kush. The mention of dark skin highlights the identity and physical characteristics of African peoples in the scriptures, reflecting a reality recognized and respected in biblical texts. The significance of the name Kush is also linked to strength and power. In many biblical accounts, the descendants of Kush are described as powerful and valiant. In Isaiah 18:2, the land of Kush is described as a place of a people tall and smooth-skinned, underscoring the importance and influence of these peoples in antiquity. It is essential to approach these interpretations with sensitivity and avoid generalizations. While the name Kush and biblical references highlight certain characteristics, it is crucial to recognize the diversity within African peoples. Physical and cultural characteristics vary widely, and each group has its own unique identity and heritage. This diversity is an integral part of the rich tapestry of humanity. Nimrod, a descendant of Kush, is a prominent figure in the Bible, known for his power and skill as a hunter. Genesis 10:8-9 says, "And Kush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord." This description underscores Nimrod's importance and influence in ancient history. Nimrod is recognized as the founder of several important kingdoms and cities, Among his achievements are the building of Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar, Genesis 10:10. These settlements became centers of power and civilization, highlighting Nimrod's ability to lead and organize large projects. Nimrod's figure is also associated with rebellion against God, especially in the account of the Tower of Babel. According to Genesis 11:1-9, the inhabitants of Babel decided to build a tower that reached the heavens. God, seeing their arrogance, confused their language and scattered them over the face of the earth. This story symbolizes the dangers of pride and disobedience to God. Nimrod is a complex character whose story reflects both human power and capability, and the consequences of disobedience. His legacy as a builder and powerful leader is significant, but also serves as a warning about the limits of human power in the face of divine authority. Nimrod remains a fascinating and multifaceted figure in the biblical narrative. The founding of Babel is one of the most well-known events associated with Nimrod. Genesis 10:10 tells us that Babel was one of the first cities of his kingdom. Babel, later known as Babylon, became a symbol of power and civilization in antiquity. Nimrod, as its founder, is seen as a visionary and ambitious leader. Nimrod's leadership in building Babel and other cities reflects his ability to organize and govern. These cities were not only centers of political power, but also of cultural and technological innovation. The construction of large walls, temples, and other monumental buildings shows the level of development achieved under Nimrod's leadership. However, Babel is also associated with the humans' attempt to reach heaven and challenge God. Genesis 11:4 recounts that the inhabitants of Babel said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." This act of pride and defiance resulted in divine intervention. God confused their language, preventing them from understanding each other and forcing them to disperse over the face of the earth. Genesis 11, 7-8. This event marked the end of Babel's project and the beginning of linguistic and cultural diversity. The story of Babel and Nimrod illustrates the duality of human progress, the capacity for great achievements and the risk of excessive pride. The Tower of Babel is one of the most emblematic stories in the Bible and symbolizes human ambition and its limits. According to Genesis 11:1-9, after the flood, humanity spoke a single language and decided to build a city with a tower that reached the heavens. This ambitious project represented their desire to unify and achieve great heights. The tower's purpose was to make a name for themselves and avoid being scattered over the earth. This excessive ambition and desire to challenge God led to divine intervention. God, seeing their arrogance, decided to confuse their language so they could not understand each other. This confusion caused people to disperse over the earth, fulfilling His will to populate the world. The Tower of Babel not only represents the first great unification and post-flood civilization attempt, but also a warning about the dangers of pride and disobedience. The dispersion of humanity and the creation of multiple languages marked the beginning of cultural and linguistic diversity. This event underlines that human plans, when based on pride, can be thwarted by divine will. The story of the Tower of Babel remains relevant today, reminding us of the importance of humility and cooperation under divine principles. The account invites us to reflect on our ambitions and consider how our actions can align with God's will. This narrative, rich in symbolism, continues to be a source of spiritual teachings and reflections. The dispersion of humanity and the creation of multiple languages is a direct consequence of the Tower of Babel story. Before this event, Genesis 11:1 tells us that the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. This linguistic unity facilitated communication and collaboration, but also allowed humanity to unite in an effort to challenge God. By confusing the languages, God interrupted this project and forced people to disperse. Genesis 11:8 states, "So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. This dispersion not only prevented the tower's construction, but also promoted cultural and ethnic diversity by forcing people to settle in different regions. The resulting multiplicity of languages is a testament to the complexity and richness of human experience. Each language developed from then on carried a unique culture, traditions, and ways of thinking. This linguistic diversity is one of the richest aspects of human heritage, allowing a variety of expressions and perspectives. The account of the Tower of Babel and the dispersion of humanity teaches us about the importance of diversity and the need to respect and value cultural differences. It also reminds us that despite our differences, we all share a common origin and are interconnected by our humanity. This story is both a warning and a celebration of human diversity. The Bible does not provide specific information about the exact age that Ham, son of Noah, lived. However, the longevity of biblical characters in antediluvian and post-diluvian times is notable. Genesis 5 and 11 report that many of the patriarchs lived several hundred years, suggesting an era when environmental conditions allowed significantly longer lives. Ham, being one of Noah's sons, would have been born before the flood and lived in a transition period between the antediluvian and post-diluvian eras. Genesis 9:28-29 tells us that Noah lived 350 years after the flood, and a total of 950 years. Although the Bible does not detail Ham's longevity, it is plausible that he lived a prolonged life, similar to his father and brothers. The longevity of biblical characters is often interpreted as a divine blessing and an indication of the unique conditions of the earth before the flood. Genesis 6:3 mentions that God limited human life to 120 years due to the increasing wickedness on earth. This statement marks a shift in the duration of human life, delineating divine intervention in response to human corruption. The lack of specific details about Ham's age does not diminish his importance in the biblical narrative. As one of Noah's three sons, Ham played a crucial role in repopulating the earth and forming African civilizations. His legacy and that of his descendants remain a fundamental part of biblical and human history. Theories and speculations about Ham's burial place vary across different traditions and cultures, without solid historical or archaeological evidence. These narratives reflect local beliefs and mythologies rather than proven facts. However, it is interesting to explore these stories to understand how Ham has been perceived over the centuries. In some traditions, it is speculated that Ham was buried in the region of Africa, specifically in Sudan or Ethiopia. This idea is related to Ham's association with African peoples and the rich cultural and historical heritage of these regions. The connection of Ham with Africa stands out in biblical genealogies and the identity of his descendants. Another theory proposes that Ham was buried in Egypt, a country with a significant historical connection to his descendants, the Egyptians. This suggestion may be linked to the cultural influence of Mizraim, Ham's son, on Egyptian civilization. Egypt, with its elaborate funeral traditions and monuments, could have been seen as a fitting burial place for such an important figure. Despite the lack of concrete evidence, these theories reflect Ham's enduring impact on African history and culture. Exploring these narratives helps us understand how different cultures have interpreted and valued Ham's figure over time. Although the exact burial place may remain a mystery, his legacy lives on in the history and traditions of African peoples. According to the Book of Jubilees, an ancient Jewish work that complements the biblical narrative, Ham was responsible for founding the first city after the flood, called Nail. This city, named in honor of Ham's wife, reflected an attempt to establish a new civilization amidst the ruins left by the flood. This story offers an additional perspective on Ham's role in building the post-diluvian world. Ham's founding of Nail underscores his initiative and leadership in creating new communities after the devastation of the flood. The task of repopulating and rebuilding the world fell upon Noah and his sons. The creation of a city was a crucial step in establishing a center of civilization and organizing people into a cohesive social structure. This narrative also highlights the importance of family in Ham's history. Naming the city in honor of his wife demonstrates the value placed on family ties and collaboration in building the new society. In this context, cities were not only centers of political and economic power, but also of community and family life. The story of Nail, although not found in the biblical canon, complements our understanding of Ham and his descendants' efforts to establish new civilizations. Through these additional narratives, we can appreciate the resilience and capability of the first post-diluvian humans to create and thrive in a renewed world. Ham, as the founder of Nail, is a key figure in this epic of renewal and hope. The biblical narrative about Ham and his descendants provides a rich source of information about the origin of African peoples. From Noah's blessing and the dispersion of his sons to the founding of cities and cultural influence, Ham's descendants have left an indelible mark on human history. Exploring these genealogies and accounts helps us better understand the diversity and complexity of our common roots. Ham's story is also a window into the deep interconnections between different peoples and cultures of the ancient world. Through his descendants, we see the formation of civilizations in Africa and their interaction with other regions. The cultural wealth and achievements of African peoples, from Nubian architecture to Egyptian influence, underscore the importance of these lineages in global history. It is essential to recognize and correct the historical misunderstandings that have arisen from these narratives. The curse of Canaan, for example, was unjustly used to justify slavery and racial discrimination. A careful and contextual reading of the Bible reveals that these interpretations are erroneous, and that the dignity and value of all human beings are fundamental principles in the scriptures. Correcting these misinterpretations is necessary not only for historical justice, but also to promote a more accurate and respectful understanding of biblical teachings. Furthermore, Ham's narrative and his descendants highlight the resilience and adaptability of African peoples. Despite challenges and adversities, these communities demonstrated a remarkable ability to thrive and significantly contribute to human development. Their stories are full of examples of ingenuity, courage, and perseverance, which continue to inspire current generations. Ham's story and his descendants also underline the importance of unity and cooperation. Each of Noah's sons and their descendants contributed uniquely to the formation of civilizations. Learning about these stories can foster greater respect and appreciation for the ethnic and cultural diversity that characterizes our humanity. Recognizing the contributions of all peoples is essential for building an inclusive and accurate narrative of human history. The biblical narrative reminds us of the interconnection of all peoples and the need to work together to build a more just and equitable world. Through the study of genealogies and biblical accounts, we can find inspiration and guidance to face contemporary challenges with wisdom and compassion. Ham's story teaches us that despite our differences, we share a common heritage and are united in our humanity. This exploration of the origin of African peoples according to the Bible is just the beginning of a deeper understanding of our shared heritage. Delving into these stories not only enriches our historical knowledge, but also strengthens our sense of community and global solidarity. The Bible, with its accounts and teachings, offers us valuable lessons on unity, diversity, and cooperation. Ultimately, Ham's story and his descendants are a testament to the value and dignity of all people. It reminds us that each culture and each people has a valuable story to tell, and that all, regardless of our origin, contribute to the rich mosaic of humanity. By celebrating this diversity, we can move toward a more inclusive and harmonious future, guided by the principles of respect, justice, and love that we find in the scriptures. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for clarity. Open our minds and hearts to receive your truth. We pray that your words continue to be the light that guides our lives, illuminating our path through the darkness, as promised in Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. May your divine wisdom and teachings shine brightly, guiding us in every step we take. Help us always remember that, in times of uncertainty or challenge, we can find direction and clarity through your holy words. Strengthen our faith and our hearts so that we may follow your ways.